Showtime, folks.
Hoarding in on ours. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to that 590 show. Matt Berger alongside Matt Rocchio. John G. Monte Rudolph behind the dials. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Summer is officially here. It is hot outside. But it's nice and cool in here. That's all that matters. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line, also available at 855-282-8255. And you can add us on Twitter at 590show, at Matt_Berger, at Rock590, and at JohnRudolph22. Joining us at 620 will be Rob Raines from STLSportsPage.com. And then at 7 o'clock, Blake Topmeyer, sports writer for the Columbia Daily Tribune, who's in Birmingham, Alabama for the SEC Media Day. All guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com. Looking up at the TV here in the studio, it is that David Ross part of the Home Run Derby broadcast team. I don't understand the appeal of David Ross. I just don't. I'm not trying to be a hater. I just don't understand why everybody loves him so much. I'm like, he doesn't seem to be like that dynamic of a personality, so I don't get it.
I guess when you can capture the city of Chicago like he did, the national people will run with it. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Maybe that's part of the reason why the Cubs aren't very good this year, is because he was the one that held the team together.
That's not, nope.
As crazy as it sounds.
Just like Jason Hayward's speech didn't help them win a World Series. One player who caught for one pitcher is not the difference between them making it and them not.
Okay, but talking about being a glue guy in the locker room. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about anything on the field.
I'm it's not the locker room that's holding back the Cubs. It's the fact that their on-field play is holding them back. I just think that I'm not saying locker room problems can't, you know, derail a good team. I'm just saying that I'm not ready to give David Ross some kind of giant, you know, ambassador symbol.
I'm not
like
saying that for
like
sure
he was really
is.
Tying
I'm
everything
that
together.
I'm not saying that's for sure that's what it is. I'm just saying I'm wondering if
that
it
just
is.
Feels like a little bit too much. And again, I feel like we're giving him too much credit from last year in the first place. I don't feel like giving him more retroactively. I don't want to do that now. That's just going to make the legend of David Ross grow even more. Come on now.
Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Mr. 99.9% joins us. Mark, how are you, and how was your weekend?
I'm pretty good. How about yours?
Oh, it wasn't bad. You know, can't complain.
It is hot, boy. I tell you that. I'm going to make a movie recommendation before I get off or before I finish my comments.
Okay, what's that?
Do you guys think the Cardinals should go after Giancarlo Stanton?
There is plus and minuses to getting Giancarlo Stanton. Obviously, he's someone who's a power bat in the middle of the lineup, which is something the Cardinals desperately need. And I think he's an okay outfielder. I would say he's above average. He's not exactly overly athletic, but he does have a good arm. And he's playing right field, so you don't necessarily have to be terribly athletic to play right field. But the biggest problem I have with Giancarlo Stanton is that, man, he is on the DL a lot. I think he's been in Major League Baseball for 7 years, and I think he's played more than 145 games twice. So that's the only thing that makes me nervous about that. And the only way that you're going to get Giancarlo Stanton from the Miami Marlins is either you're going to give up a ton of prospects or you're going to give up not as many prospects, and you're just going to take on a bunch of salary. And you know how the Cardinals are about spending money, even though they have it.
That's why I disagree with. They shouldn't even be worried about money, man.
Oh, I'm not saying. Look. I'm not saying that they shouldn't. I'm telling you what they're going to do, not what I think they should do. What I'm saying, I'm in total agreement with you on that one. I've said for a long time, I think the Cardinals need to spend more money than what they do. I'm just telling you what they are going to do. And I mean, if they took on that salary, I'd be stunned. I'd be happy, but I'd be stunned.
Well, man, it's just a new day and it's a new era, man.
It is.
You got to come out of those pockets, man.
You do.
If you want a decent player, man, you're gonna have to come out of your pockets and pay these guys, man. No longer can you get wired by with this just patchwork stuff like they've been doing over the last few years. You see that it's not working now, okay? You're gonna have to come out and spend some get a headline. That guy could be a headliner for your team right there.
He could
for
now,
the next five or six years.
Absolutely,
okay?
Face of the franchise, someone that you can market around. There is no doubt about it. Now, would I rather the Cardinals hold on to their cash and spend it all on someone more like Manny Machado? Absolutely. I would rather have Manny Machado than Giancarlo Stanton. The problem is that if you trade for Giancarlo Stanton, you know for sure that you're going to have him. You're going to have him at least until 2020 where he has an opt-out, and he can opt out and, you know, try to re-sign a bigger deal with the Cardinals or go someplace else. With Manny Machado, when he gets free agency, there's no guarantee that you're going to get him, and I don't think the Orioles are going to trade him either. He's one of their best players, if not he's their best player, so they're not going to just trade him. So that's another thing. Here's another thing, too, with Giancarlo Stanton is that he has a no-trade clause. So he would have to waive that in order to come to St. Louis to play for the Cardinals. And, I mean,
I'm pretty sure he probably wouldn't mind playing with the Cardinals. You know, it's a winning organization, and like he's going to a losing organization.
That's true.
He probably wouldn't have a problem with this.
Excuse me, Mark. He was just up on the TV here. Did you see that bronze god knocking homers into the 30th row?
Exactly.
It's gorgeous.
The Cardinals need to go out and make a splash, man. That's what they need to do, okay? I mean, like I said, that guy could be the face of your franchise for at least 5 or 6 years.
Mark is so right here.
Oh, trust me. If they made the move and they got Stanton, depending on what they gave up to get him, I'd probably be all for it.
I'm just not saying
it's a no-brainer.
The only thing that is a negative in this deal, when you look at it, is the injury history. Because even when you talk about what you got to give up, it's nothing compared to, one, what it usually is to get this guy when you're not talking about free agency. And again, I mean, this is essentially a free agency signing that you have to tack on a couple prospects at the edge to make him happy. And again, now JJ Bailey, the Cardinals writer we had, seems to be a little resistant to Nightingale's comments about
Rocky,
that.
Rocky, you don't think the Cardinals can get him by just taking the salary off the Marlins?
Well, no, you'll have to.
I think they could.
Like I said, when I say prospects on the edge, I'm not talking anybody near the top 100 in prospects. I'm talking you're just going to have to throw a couple names from your Gulf Coast League affiliate onto the edge. So essentially, it is a free agent signing. And so, I mean, if the Cardinals, and again, this kind of builds off another Bob Nightingale report. If they're apparently talking about Machado, that tells me that the reason we haven't seen them go out of their way to sign somebody is because they're sitting on money to make sure they can make the right signing. David Price wasn't the right signing for that much money, so they sat back. I think they're sitting on a pile of money to make the right signing. And so maybe this isn't the right signing in their eyes because it's a right fielder, not a third baseman. I could see that. But everything that Nightingale's saying, both about Stanton and about the Cardinals and Machado, tells me that the Cardinals are ready to spend if it is the game changer, if it is the face changer of the franchise. Now, you are 100% correct, Mark, that is Giancarlo Stanton, but I do have to give to Matt's point and JJ's point. If you had to choose between the two ones, optimally, you'd rather have Machado. But again, I question how available his availability will be even next year. I just wonder what's going to happen there with Machado. And you know, does he actually walk away, or does he sign an extension with the Orioles? Then they try to make I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm gonna make a quick movie recommendation for you guys.
Go for it.
Look at this movie called The Belko Experiment. I don't know if you guys have seen that already or heard of it.
No, I haven't heard of it.
It's called The Belko Experiment. Watch it, and you're gonna be on the edge of your seat. Okay.
It's called the Belko Experiment.
Belko Experiment, is that?
Oh, Belko.
So it's all about the steroids guy in Miami.
I got you.
No.
Oh.
Belko with an E. B-E-L-O-C-O.
That's the one where they go into the office and a bunch of people get murdered, right?
Yeah,
over like,
okay,
something
yeah.
Like that.
I know what you're talking about now. I remember seeing the advertisement for it, and at the very beginning it was from Orion Pictures, and I'm like, okay, this is a spoof because Orion went bankrupt like 20 years ago. Orion yes. Pictures isn't around anymore. And then I'm like, oh, no, this is an actual movie. While we're talking about movies, Mark, while I got you on the phone, I watched Tour de Pharmacy over the weekend on HBO, and I have not laughed that hard in years.
Which one? What was it called?
It's called Tour de Pharmacy. It's on HBO. Okay. And what it is, it's a spoof documentary about the Tour de France and how they're all doping. And everybody in it is absolutely hysterical. Andy Samberg plays the first African to compete in the Tour de France, and the only reason why they're saying he's from Africa is because his parents own a diamond mine in Nigeria, and he knows absolutely nothing about Africa. The only thing he knows about Africa is from lyrics from the song Africa by Toto. That's the only thing he knows about Africa. Wow. And there were interviews. I don't know Mark, did you ever watch the show Oz on HBO?
I've seen parts, bits and pieces of it. I wasn't a total fan of.
Okay, so one of the guys that they were interviewing in this documentary was Andy Samberg's next-door neighbor, and it was a guy from Oz. The guy, I think his name was Ibisi. He's the one who wore those little knit hats all the time and kind of cocked.
Oh, yeah, I know who he is.
You know
what
I'm talking about? Okay, so he played Andy Samberg's next-door neighbor when they were growing up, and he hates him. Can't stand him because he claims
he was like the preacher guy in jail, right? No.
He wasn't a preacher guy, but I know who you're talking about, but it wasn't him. It was somebody else.
Okay.
But anyway. Okay. Tour de Pharmacy, go see it or watch it on HBO. It's about an hour long, and that's perfect because it doesn't get too old. You have John Cena in it, who plays an Austrian biker who weighed like 100 pounds the year before, and a year later he looks like John Cena. And the best thing is that you forget what a POS Lance Armstrong is, because Lance Armstrong makes a cameo in it. They're supposed to be disguising him, like disguising his voice and keeping him in the dark, but they keep turning on the light, so eventually you know it's Lance Armstrong. And he totally makes fun of himself. It's absolutely hysterical. Tour de Pharmacy, go see it. It is hysterical.
Okay. All right. All right, guys, have a good evening.
Thanks, Mark. Ed Roy looks Goiter texting in, the low-hanging cheap fruit philosophy has been a dismal failure. No World Series titles since Pulos, not a coincidence. No World Series titles, but they did go to one in 2013. But, yeah, otherwise, I agree with Ed Roy, 100%. They can't be doing it anymore. I think there's...
Can't really use a six-year sample as no World Series win. What is going on here?
Okay, but since they've been here's the thing. And J.J. Bailey said it on Friday.
I don't disagree with him, though.
And I absolutely agree with what he said. The Cardinals, I think they're still trying to go – they're still trying to skate on the baseball heaven, best fans in baseball, come here and play cheap and play in front of adoring fans in a great situation. That maybe have worked, 15, 20 years ago. I don't think it's going to work anymore. That's the thing.
Apparently worked on Dexter Fowler.
Though they overpaid Dexter Fowler. They had to overpay Dexter Fowler. They did not come in, and Dexter Fowler was just like, oh, my God, I remember what it was like when I was playing for the Cubs. Yeah, this is absolutely heaven where I want to be. They overpaid Dexter Fowler.
Yeah, he did kind of give that illusion when you're right, it was an illusionary thing, because after he signed, all he did was kind of make a move like he signed because of how great baseball is, because of how great the fans are. You're 100% correct. They did just overpay him. Very good call there. But you're right. You can't get away with that. I mean, pretty sure you stopped getting away with it when people who were here were like, no home discounts anymore for you guys. Sorry about you, buddies. Not happening anymore.
The days of Jim Edmonds doing it and Mark McGwire doing it and Scott Rowland doing it, those days are over. I don't think too many people are going to do that anymore. And that's why, whenever they did, they made the Piscotty announcement, I'm like, they're fighting fire with the feel-good. Because at the time, you saw what the Cubs were doing. The Cubs had all this great young talent. You were a little unsure about Steven Piscotty. Good for him. He signed that contract, but why sign him that contract right now?
Locking up young talented players before they hit the markets is a way to keep your payroll manageable, but
the way Piscotty's playing right now, do you think he can still get that contract? Why'd you sign it to him then?
I'm not saying it wasn't a risk, but you take the risk by signing a guy to a low deal because he hasn't exploded yet so that you get him on the cheap when he does blow up. Obviously it's blown up in their face, much like the Alan Craig one did and much like the one Colton Wong did. But, of course, that's $5 million blowing up in your face, not $13 million or whatever hand you want to go to. Ed Roy, Liz Gorder, texting in, if they don't make the playoffs this year, that will be 3 years in a row without a playoff series win. That's called decline.
Absolutely.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
And, again, the whole part about these 3 years in a row without a playoff series win, it all, in my opinion, goes back to the fact that they've never tried to fix the middle of the order. They tried to sit on their laurels with Matt Holliday being the only guy after
Randall Grichuk was supposed to be the home run hitter.
Grichuk was supposed to be the home run hitter. Piscotty was supposed to come in as your prototypical five hitter.
or maybe even a Matt Holliday best case scenario. And they just never went out of their way to fix that 3 or 4 spot. And that's where it's been. I mean, every part of the decline has been connected to that. Sure, they've had some abnormal offensive years, but those are the only years when the offense in the lineup has been passable by the numbers. Is when they've had these abnormal years. It was 2013 and they were hitting .460 with runners in scoring position. It was 2 years ago and they were hitting home runs at a ridiculous rate. That's the only times they've had above average offenses is when they've been a ridiculous, abnormal, out of line team. When you put them in respect to the rest of baseball freaking history, and that all goes down to the fact that they've been trying to patchwork a lineup out of all these moves, and yeah, it's bad. I mean, it's this low hanging philosophy that's just led you to putting together every young player you have in the lineup and signing cheap free agents. It's not enough.
Let's quickly head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Baby O joins us. Baby O, how are you?
All right, I hear the music sounding good. Hope you gentlemen had a great weekend.
Yeah, can't complain. What about you?
We know the fact that you're on the air means you had a good day because you woke up.
That's true.
So did I.
That's true. Although I find that kind of funny is like, you know, people say, you know, I want to thank the Lord for this day or this morning. I'm like, why don't you say, thank you, God, for not killing me in my sleep?
There you go. Or you go on Facebook about 2 in the morning. Why am I awake?
Yeah, there's a lot of that, too.
Because God chose to wake you up, your butt up again. Shut up and enjoy it.
What's on your mind?
And go to sleep when you get to work. But a couple of things in this free agency. I think that the times are starting to change a little bit. First of all, with St. Louis, I think the days of the hometown discount are over with. But let's face it. These agents are here now. These agents are going to tell these pending free agents about this new deal the Cardinals got, new television deal the Cardinals got coming up.
Absolutely.
So they're going to say, you know, this isn't about budget anymore. I don't want to hear Bill DeWitt Jr. or the new guy, what's his name, Gersh. I don't want to hear any of them talk about budget. Now, there's a difference there. You don't have to go overboard and just go crazy. But whatever these players command, the good ones, they can afford it. They're selling out every game. You got the $1 billion TV contract. I don't know exactly how much it is, but I know it starts with a B.
Yeah, it's a billion. It's at least that. And they got Ballpark Village, too.
They got Ballpark Village. Oh, they got. And remember, we forgot about the other revenue stream. MLB.com is raking in money. The Major League Network. It's raking in money like people never even dreamed of. I think each team is getting like $15, $20 million a year just from that network and the website alone.
The funny thing, though, Baby O, is that for some reason, fans always side with management whenever it comes to contract players and contracts, which never makes any sense to me. Because, I mean, I don't know if it's a jealousy thing or what it is, but you do really realize that the owners have so much more money than what the players do. And why you're so upset about a player making, you know, an X amount of money, I'll never understand. I just won't.
Well, you know what? It's that old thing where, you know, it's just a game. We all played when we were kids.
Yeah, that's a very Pollyannish approach to it.
It's very, but see, when we played doctor, we didn't actually cut on nobody when we were little. So when the doctor makes a couple of $1 million a year, we understand why he does it. But sports fans don't seem to understand that the baseball player who gets $20-$30 million a year is better than the one calling a talk show. I could not hit a curve. If they threw me 20 curveballs, I may foul tip one of them. If I'm lucky. So the fact, they're just playing a game. It's not a game. It's a business.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's a game, but
it's a business. The thing about it is, now, the NBA, and I was going to talk about the NBA players, but I think it's different because I said that they kind of set the tone for players taking less money to be on championships. But then I thought about it. I said, Kevin Durant, people look at Kevin Durant taking a $9 million, you know, leaving $9 million on the table for somebody else. but he makes $40 million from Under Armour, whoever he's got an endorsement
with. Yeah, he's got Nike, and then he's got regional players, endorsements and everything else. You're right.
Yeah, a baseball player, a lot of them don't have that luxury. You know, how many baseball players you see on any kind of advertisement?
The only one I really see is pretty much, well, Bryce Harper, that's it. And I'm seeing some with Giancarlo Stanton in it, but I think that's just because the All-Star Game's in Miami.
You name two.
Yeah.
How many Major League Baseball? There's an NBA player.
The NBA players have always been like that. Think about the NFL. How many NFL players, outside of Peyton Manning when he was in his glory day, not many NFL players had, like, you know, nationwide campaign commercials. You had Aaron Rodgers with the discount Double Check at State Farm, and that's about it. Like, Tom Brady's got a couple. But for the most part, yeah, it's mostly NBA players. Like, Steph Curry's in every other commercial. LeBron's in every other commercial. Jordan, during his heyday, he was in every commercial.
The whole Clippers team was on a State Farm commercial this time last year. I couldn't even name a couple of those guys that I saw in that State Farm commercial outside of Chris Paul and Jordan. I didn't know what those other players were.
Baby O, we got to run. We got to get to Rob Raines.
One of my favorites. Okay, I'll be listening.
All right, thanks, Baby O. Appreciate the phone call as always. We have Ed Roylick's Goiter texting back in again. They have KMOX Radio and ESPN, TBS, and Fox Money, which goes equally to all teams, top three in attendance and gate revenue. The very idea that the Cardinals should pitch pennies as if they're the 1965 KC Athletics makes my blood boil. Well said,
and
Ed Roylick's Goiter.
A lot of baseball revenue is all tied to your local. A lot of baseball revenue, as opposed to any other sport, tied to your local revenue. And their local TV deal's freaking huge, too. So
let's take a commercial break. And then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Rob Raines from STLSportsPage.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.